there's power backing him up. You know, a lot of times that power will be that, you know, in the world when violence is the authority, unfortunately, it's whoever can be more violent. If money is the authority, it's whoever has the most money. And we have a teaching, I don't know the name of it for sure, but if you contacted the ministry, we could let you know. But we do have a teaching on the different, it may be under the power struggle teaching, I'm not sure. But there's different powers in the world. There's different powers in different cultures. And so there's something backing up that authority. And so what we really want to understand is we have no authority based on just what we speak, okay? So many people think it's like a formula, like if I say it, it has to happen. No, it's not. There's no formula. The authority is in your relationship with Christ. So how do you know if you have authority or not? If you speak it and it doesn't happen, you did not walk out in true authority. Your flesh trying to use God's word. Now that's very powerful. We have a teaching out called the mind of the flesh. It's called the battle of the minds. And it's dealing with the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit. And there's no authority in the mind of the flesh. So if you take the things of God's word and you operate them through a fleshly mind, you operate those things and try to operate them through head knowledge, there's no authority. None. But when you have the mind of the spirit, which you can only get being connected with the Holy Spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit, then when the Holy Spirit speaks something, you know he has the authority, just as Jesus had the authority because of the Holy Spirit in Jesus. He had the authority to back it up. In other words, there really is an army of angels. There really are angels, the Bible says, who are here to serve those who are heirs of salvation. That's us. That's the believer. So true authority has to come with a revelation that there are angels that will really go and take authority, that will really go and do the things God puts on my heart to ask them to do or to tell them to do in his name. Okay? But as we're looking at Jesus, he's going to be what we're going to watch him to see. So we see here that there really is authority given to Jesus. And remember, Jesus says, greater works than these you will do in my name, that you might glorify the Father. So everything we see Jesus doing, we are going to be able to do those things. That's amazing. With the same authority. So we can send a word to somebody and they can be healed without even going there. Now, this man who came had authority in the natural over the person he was asking to be healed. There's a couple situations in this particular one. Was it his son or was it his servant? Matthew 8:9. So this is his child, okay? So I want you to see something. This parent had authority to believe for his child in this spiritual situation. Do you see that? Just like a parent goes, if you have to go to the hospital, that parent signs, right? They give their authority to the doctors. They give their permission to the doctors to have authority to work on that child, right? All right. So I want you to understand this so you can understand who you can and can't pray for, who you can and can't have authority for, and know it. A parent has authority in Christ for their child. For their child to be healed. I've walked in this revelation, believing for my son's healing for quite a few years. And every time the enemy gave a horrible report and the doctors thought, you know, my son was going to die, I would go to the Lord. I'd spend time with the Lord. I'd get a word from the Lord and I would release that word. And there were times, I remember one time Mitchell was being rushed to the hospital in the middle of the night with what they believed was an aneurysm. And he had a horrible pain that hit out of nowhere. And my husband grabbed him and was rushing to King's Daughters. He'd already been a patient at King's Daughters for a while, an outpatient. And some people would say, well, how could you not have jumped in the car and gone? But I knew by the witness of the Holy Spirit that I needed to stay and pray. And see, the Lord gave me authority to release a word like this. And so I called a friend of mine, Karen, in the ministry, and I told her what was going on, and all of a sudden, we went into prophetic warfare that was wild. I mean, I'm talking really extreme. And we actually sound it like us, like Indians, like somebody on the warpath. And we were just going and praying and praying. We just let the Holy Spirit have his way. And all of a sudden, it broke. And I just said to, Karen, I said, what on earth was that? And we both realized we just did a prophetic war cry, but we just sounded like Indian, you know, like the Indian movies you would watch. And way back in your early childhood. And all of a sudden, it came to me. I knew we had broke the power of this thing, and all of a sudden it came to me. And this was a true story. We had ministered to a girl whose father her grandfather was actually a medicine man, still today in Indian culture. And he knew when she was getting saved, and he actually had spoken to her in her mind. It was very strange when we were casting these demons out of her and told her not to receive of the great white spirit, not to receive of it. And she did receive of it, and she got saved, and we got some demons out. And this grandfather had, I guess the Lord revealed to me, became so angry that he actually cursed my child. And so after we did this prophetic thing the Lord showed us, the Lord showed me, break the power of the curse. Break the power of the curse of death that's been sent over your child in my name. And I did that. And it was my first really eye-opening experience. We are not to embrace our heritage as our identity, because when you do that, you embrace the wrong spirituality of that heritage. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, including my family tree. And instead, though, we've all been trying to get our identity in our cultures or in our heritage, and that's unbiblical. I'm a new creation, Christ Jesus. And so, but I want you to see something. When the Lord showed me this, I broke the power of it, and I spoke blessing, not curse. I spoke a blessing to this person who had cursed my son. I asked the Lord to heal him, save him, deliver them. It's not for me to curse. It was for me to bless those who despitefully use you. Bless them, don't curse them. So I released blessing. When I released the blessing, my son was instantly healed. Instantly, just like that, it went away. And my eyes were really open personally to my Indian background from my grandmother's side that I had embraced as a kid for identity, because my sisters have blonde hair and blue eyes, and I'm more dark skinned with dark eyes and dark hair. And they used to tease me and tell me that I was adopted. Well, there's nothing wrong with being adopted, but they were doing it in a way to hurt me, to mock, you know. And we're great friends, me and my sisters, but, you know, kids can be pretty mean. And the Lord showed me, actually, when this happened, it actually opened my understanding as to why my son was being attacked. And so at that point, it was the first time I realized, oh my gosh, my Indian heritage before Christ was so full of false spiritualism. And so you do not want to try to get your self-esteem from your family background. You want to get your self-esteem from who you are in Christ. That's the only place anybody should have any esteem. My true identity is in Christ. All identity before that is evil identity. It doesn't mean that God made a mistake making me, from whatever background. Of course not. Before the fall, you know, if there had never been a fall of mankind, there would have never been these evil cultures. There would have never been false spirituality. There would have never been these wrong things that people do because they don't know Christ. But then, if there had never been a fall, we wouldn't have needed an identity, because we would have all lived in that place of just such peace and love and joy. We wouldn't compare and compete and these things. So God wasn't wrong when he made us different and made different, even different cultures. It's that the things we took to be spiritual, the things we took in that were not of God. And that's why we all needed a Savior, no matter what your background or your culture is. So we need to be careful for our doctrine of men that actually open the way for the enemy to attack us, because we're trying to get our identity in our past. And so at that same time, my son had been very, very sick for a couple years by then probably. And I remember, or at least a year or so, I was at a conference and a prophet, it was a real prophet. If I told you his name, you know who he was. He's like, you know, one of the main prophetic voices in the prophetic movement. And he was a really radical prophet. It's the first time I ever went to prophetic kind of ministry way, way back, right before my son, well, when my son was first diagnosed, and they thought he was eating up with cancer, and they thought he had all these different diseases. It was just crazy what we went through. But anyone listen to this, he's in college. Oh, he just actually graduated college. He's fine. Everything the doctor said didn't happen. Thank you, Jesus. But it was a trial of persevering. It was a trial of learning the ways of God. It was a trial of learning this kind of understanding of authority. It was a trial of really, really having to walk in just such obedience to the Holy Spirit to find the way of escape for my son. And but I remember this prophet, he came at this meeting, and he almost started choking me. It was kind of funny. It was just, he got real loopy, you know, loopy prophet. And but he's very anointed, and he goes, "It's from your mother's mother. There's a curse on your children, and it's trying to, the devil's trying to kill your children." Well, I had just buried one daughter just maybe a year before this, and now my son, you know, was being attacked, and they told us he would probably not live. And I'm thinking, how does this man know this? You know, I knew it was by the Holy Spirit. And so he said, "It's from your mother's mother. The curse is from your mother's mother." And that's, and then I fell out, and I was laid out on the floor going, Holy Spirit was all over me. I said, "Lord, how can this be? My mother's mother was the only Christian in our family. She's probably the one who prayed any of us into salvation." And I didn't understand. I thought, well, maybe he missed what side of the family or whatever. But I thought, wow, how did he know about my daughter dying? And how did he know that my son was being attacked? So I knew it was from the Lord. So let me tell you, when you are learning to walk in this authority and you're learning to do warfare and you're really learning, you know, we need to get beyond just standing there saying a scripture, saying a scripture, saying a scripture. It's great. If you say a scripture and it happens, then praise God. That's what God's called you to in that situation. But if you haven't gotten the victory, then the Bible says to do all, then stand. Don't just do one thing and then stand. You know, we've got to go deeper and deeper and deeper in God. And that's what the Lord was teaching me. So he was teaching me to walk in this authority. So that happened first, was the thing with the prophet. Then this thing happened with this girl from this Indian background, this American Indian background. So anyway, and then this other thing happened just, you know, a few months later with this girl we were doing deliverance on. But I remember thinking, oh my gosh, my background has some really bad spirituality to it. And that's when I realized my mother's mother, and I started putting the puzzle together for the way of escape for my son's life. And so I really had to repent for getting my identity when I was being teased in my inheritance instead of in Christ. Because the Lord showed me that's what opened the door for you. That's why that family curse could come after you, because when you embraced that heritage to meet a need that should have been met in who? Christ. Because I embraced that heritage to meet a need that should have been met in Christ, it opened the way for the enemy to bring the curse from that false spirituality in my family background. And I'm going to tell you, for authority, this is powerful teaching if we'll just wake up and really get real about the ways of God for those who are really fighting sicknesses and illnesses and generational curses and entire, you know, people group who are constantly struggling with the same issues and problems that other part of culture maybe isn't struggling with. There's probably some embracing there of a generational curse when you try to get your identity in your background instead of in Christ. And so I believe a lot of the prophetic has been doing this incorrectly by almost causing people to want to embrace their culture or their, in other words, separate us, you know, separate us. We are one in the body of believers. We come out of the world and into the kingdom. You know, I can't be caring about what I was back in the world, because everybody back in the world is a sinner going to hell until they're pulled into the kingdom. Now, once you're in the kingdom, why are you trying to look backwards? Forgetting those things that are past and going on to the high calling of Christ. But there's a lot of wrong doctrine. There's a lot of wrong teaching. And there's just a lot of misunderstanding about, you know, it is finished in Christ. It's okay. That's a good news. I'm excited that I'm in the kingdom of God. I don't need to be in the world kingdom. I don't need my background. It doesn't matter what my social status was. It doesn't matter what my racial status was. It doesn't matter that that person's dead. I have been crucified with Christ. I, being that person, no longer lives. But now I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, and all things are passed away. And yet, it seems like there's a lot of doctrine that we're supposed to embrace the past and glorify the past and try to maybe make one past look better than another past or blame somebody for this injustice or that injustice. Folks, the world is full of injustice. But the deliverer came 2,000 years ago. And if people's eyes don't open to that, they are going to go into the Antichrist system. The whole world is looking for a deliverer. The whole world is looking for a peacemaker. The whole world is looking for a king. And everything, the stage is being set for Satan to take that position, except for those who already know the king, the true king, except for those who already know true deliverance and true authority, and we know who we are in Christ. Isn't it amazing? We're one body in Christ. We're a body made up of all different colors, all different backgrounds, just two genders, thank you, Jesus. And just really, you know, all coming together to make this one glorious bride. That's my identity. You know, that's my identity. And we need to get free from these lies of people struggling to love themselves. And we got a powerful teaching called Perfect Love. And then part two of that is called Loving Yourself. I really encourage people to get a hold of that, to get healed so you can really enter into who you are in this authority. So I want you to see that. I've known that God gave me authority to believe for my son, just like this man who came to Jesus about his son knew that he had the thought that Jesus gave. Because this man came, he was able to come in place of his son because of the parent-child relationship. Isn't that awesome? And let me tell you something, those with a husband or a wife, Christ sees you as one flesh, so guess where you have authority? You have authority to fight for your marriages. You have authority to get the devil off of your husband or get the devil out of your wife. You have authority there if you learn to take it, if you learn to walk it. If you would get pretty upset that the enemy would try to touch something as holy as a marriage relationship, you got to get angry at the devil that he would try to touch your kid.